We're all out on the interwebs, on the internet, and recording at our various domiciles. Yes, I'm Calvin Reed, a contributing editor at Publishers Weekly. Check us out online at publishersweekly.com/comics.
And I'm Heidi McDonald. I'm the editor-in-chief of The Beat at comicsbeat.com and kcomicsbeat at kcomicsbeat.com. And you can find us at Blue Sky at pwcomicsworld.bsky.social.
And I'm Kate Fitzsimmons. I'm the podcast producer. And you can find us online on Tumblr, pwcomicsworld.tumblr.com.
And don't forget, you can subscribe to more to come. Well, theoretically on the Apple Podcast app. I'm not sure how that's going. On Spotify, which is updating our uploads, and on Facebook, we're at facebook.com/pwcomicsworld.
And don't forget, you could leave us a note about how we're doing. If you have a fan mail, you could let us know, give us a rating, give us a thumbs up, give us something, because we love to hear from our listeners.
And when all else fails, you can always find us on PW Comics. You can always find us on publishersweekly.com/comics. There
Yes,
you go.
and so listeners,
Yeah.
Yuko, yes, we are doing this, trying to do it to video. So that's why
Yes.
we're all
That's why
sort
you
of,
see us.
but you see us and we're fumbling around. I mean, I
Yes.
think, Calvin, I do think you kind of buried the lead there a little bit. I mean, we have been on hiatus since just after New York Comic Con. So that was in early October. So a 2 month hiatus. And, we needed to take a break after 14 years. So. But we wanted to get back, tell you what happened in the world of comics in 2026, and here we are. So,
Yeah,
and
and we have a lot of new plans for the podcast, and we can't wait to be back.
new
Yes.
format stuff to come, and I think Heidi hit the lead right where the lead should be. You did you jump right in there at just the right time.
Yes,
So
yes.
yeah, we're back. We're gonna shake things up a little bit. Some new things, some different things. So stay tuned. But as always, this week on More to Come, the year 2025 in review, from Diamond's implosion to Batman's absolute triumph and everything in between.
Yeah.
So
Well,
our Diamond correspondent.
it was certainly a momentous year in comics news. I do think it was a revolutionary year. I think there will be before January 14th, 2025, and after January 14th, 2025. I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing, but certainly the
Yeah.
world of comics changed forever at 2 o'clock on January 14th, when Diamond announced that they were filing for Chapter 11 bankruptcy. And if you're a regular listener, you have heard us go on and on and on about this because, okay, we knew it was going to be a little messy. We did not know that there would be three adversary proceedings, one of which has already been dropped, and then 30 more adversary proceedings, which are what they call lawsuits involving a bankruptcy. Now, there's even a separate actual lawsuit going on between Dynamite and Sparkle Pop, which is the company that bought Diamond. There was this incredible who's actually got Diamond thing that went on with Alliance
It's like,
Entertainment.
where's Diamond? Yeah.
Where's Diamond? Who's got Diamond? Robert Gorin, the bankruptcy administrator, has become a household name among comics publishers. If you mean by household, a dartboard. And it's just been
That's for
crazier than
sure.
we ever thought it could possibly be. And since last we met, major developments, okay? Diamond has now, like for the last 2 months, since last we were with you, Diamond has just been. No, I look at the filings literally every day, and it's like, oh, filing to pay our lawyers $200,000. Oh, filing to pay our bankruptcy administrators for the last month $170,000. And I'm like, where is this money coming from? And then they'll be like, oh, another dip financing, and like basically Chase Bank was lending Diamond money to run at while they reorganized. And then we're all looking at it, we're like, what is the
But
point
what
of
about the
this?
actual creditors?
Well, they are creditors, so they've run
Yeah.
up a bill of $13 million with the administrative components of the bankruptcy filing. And finally there was a hearing last Monday, December 8th, and Diamond comes in and says, hey, You know what? I guess we're gonna have to file Chapter 7 after all, because Chase said they won't give us any more money. So, oops.
So we've gone from reorganization and catastrophic at every step to Chapter 7, which is the liquidation of its of all assets.
Yes. Now, the real joker in the deck is I've, talked to a few publishers who are involved in this, and there were two groups, the ad hoc committee and the consignment group. I'm not even going to try to say who they are, but the big,
But a group of indie publishers that have books in the Olive Branch
warehouse,
warehouse,
and they
right?
want them back.
And they
Right.
want their books back.
Right. Whereas Diamond has been trying to sell the consignment books
Yes.
to pay Chase Bank. And literally, they said we need to pay Chase Bank, and then Chase is coming and filing all these briefs and saying, "Oh yeah, we agree. We need to none of this consignment group." Now, the publishers that I've talked to, or the observers that I've talked to, are actually think this Chapter 7 filing is a good thing. It's going to be taken away from Robert Gorin and Gensler Henrich, which was the company that was administering the bankruptcy, and it's going to be put in the hands of a court-administered trustee, and they are going to just liquidate everything. So it could be that publishers who just wanted their stuff, they just wanted
Yes,
their stuff,
there's stuff back.
they wanted their stuff back, and
But they may have to buy them back under Chapter 7,
they
at
will,
pennies
but
on the
they were
dollar,
going to have
probably.
to. But the thing is, they were going to have to buy it back anyway. You
Anyway.
see? And here's the thing. It's all being stored by Sparkle Pop at the Olive Branch. No, well, I mean, I
Stored.
hope. I mean, I hope it's being stored.
Well,
Jeez
no, it's,
Louise.
I mean, let's put it this way. It's being stored involuntarily. You can't get it back.
Right.
It's more the nature of being held hostage.
And they're being charged a storage fee, aren't they?
Yes,
On
they
top of
are.
everything else.
Yes, and in order to get it
That's
back, they were going to
chutzpah.
be. Yeah, so there's just been so many twists and turns in this case. It is mind-boggling. But maybe the biggest twist of all was that the comics industry did not collapse after Diamond did.
Well,
Most of
Heidi,
it.
you're on. This is a big part. This is one of the big stories, I think, of the year as well. That a linchpin of the distribution system, maybe the backbone of it, goes away, and we're still seeing an industry that's very optimistic, very resilient in the face of a scramble to secure distribution.
Yes. And we'll talk about some of the new players and rearranged players that have jumped in a little bit later in the podcast. But I mean, there was, of course, instantaneous January 15th cries of woe and terror, and that so many stores would go out of business. We've seen a few stores go under, but you know what? I think they were going to go under anyway. We haven't seen any really strong stores
We
go
have
under.
seen publishers, though.
Well, but only a few.
Yeah, fewer than we might have feared.
And all of them were not doing so great before Diamond Run. I mean, Diamond
But
Bank,
even
yes.
so.
Diamond Bank going bankrupt picked off the weak ones, yes.
Yes.
Picked off the little wildebeest that were at the end of the trail
Yes.
and were trailing, and the
The weak and the sick, yeah.
weak and the sick,
Yeah,
yeah.
but
They
to
got hit
be
by the
fair,
creditors.
comics is full of companies that manage to muddle along from year to year, and they survive as long as they don't get hit by that one big disaster. And so for a couple companies, this was that one big disaster.
Yes. And I think the reason why it hasn't been more negative for publishers is that a lot of people saw this coming a long way away. And a lot of publishers had been leaving Diamond. So DC had left, Marvel had left, IDW, Dark Horse, Image, everyone else, the Boom had left. The only major publisher left was Dynamite. And they have been quite prominent in the filings. They were owed $500,000. They're being sued by Sparkle Pop. Which is really bizarre, but they're moving on. They're moving on. And
And to your point, Heidi, also, I mean, I think one of the points that came out of the insider talks at New York Comic Con this year was Milton Greep's white paper. He pointed out that indeed local comic shops are showing growth, periodical comics as well. I mean, it just seemed in a year of incredible disruption, the industry is showing a very resilient face. Apparently, sales, total sales that had dropped a bit in 2023 We're up again in 2024, and he gave a pretty optimistic outlook on the year to date in 2025 at that time.
Well, it's not just Milton. I am hearing from, which is our next topic. The second, tied for biggest story of 2025 was that the industry had a banner year led by DC Comics. The Absolute line has been an absolute smash. I'm hearing that every issue is selling well over 100,000 copies, which is fantastic. And some are selling 300,000 copies. I don't know how, I think Absolute Batman number one has already had like eight or nine printings. The graphic novels came out. I'm sure they're doing well. And then Marvel and DC did a crossover. Now that's usually a bad sign, but that did
And that
very well.
one, well, I've heard mixed reports on how the how some of those are doing compared to how they were hoping. I think, frankly, Absolute Batman's doing a lot better than the crossovers.
Yes, it is. It is. But those
And I
are.
suspect Absolute Wonder Woman as well.
Yes. Yeah. And oh, no, all of them are Absolute
All
Martian
of them, really,
Manhunter. Absolute Wonder Woman, they are all doing very, very well. And like another huge story, I think, just remains that we don't have sales charts. And DC is crushing Marvel. I mean, it's just obvious. And I'm starting to hear, so listener watchers, we are going to do early in 2026, we are going to do a year in preview episode, and I'll tell you one of the biggest stories of 2026 is going to be the sales charts and sales numbers, because I'm hearing more and more people say that Milton's data from Comic Hub just isn't accurate enough.
Well, it's a very small sample. It's I don't know how many stores Comic Hub is in, but it's not a lot.
No, it's barely, it's like under 150. So
That's
we
better
need.
than I thought.
It is, but we need to have better numbers. And I feel bad for DC because they are crushing it. They are crushing Marvel, absolutely crushing
It's
Marvel and
been a good
Marvel's
year for them.
and market share, but we don't see it. This is anecdotal at this point. And maybe Christina Merkler at Lunar and DCBS sees it, but we need to, if I was DC, I'd be leaking those numbers, by any means
Can't,
possible. Hint,
can't.
hint, 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 DC. Hint, hint.
All right.
Yeah. But Kate, did you watch the Supergirl trailer?
Yes, I did.
And
And of course, at the end of the trailer for this hotly anticipated new thing is a call to arms to go to your local comic book store. Here's how to find your local comic book store and buy comics.
well, this is a new take on Supergirl, from what I take. So yeah, I've seen the trailer too. So I'm anxious to see more.
But I just think the putting an ad for the comic graphic novel at the end of the teaser trailer is insane synergy. It just shows that James Gunn, Jim Lee, and Marie Javens, the rest of the DC crew, are really in sync on this. And so the other big story of the year, as unfolding as we were sitting here, is Warner Brothers is up for sale. Looks like Netflix is going to buy it. Of course, people are terrified about what that will mean for DC.
And then on the other hand, Paramount's making a bid too. So we'll see what happens. Personally, I'm hoping for Netflix over Paramount, but that's just my own take. I certainly have heard people who've said the opposite.
Well, that's.
And DC's role in this is the most likely to be in the spin-off subsidiary that Zaslav didn't get part of.
No,
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 no, no, really,
no.
no.
Oh,
He would
no.
stay with
Oh,
Warner. They
absolutely. But
want to
I.
keep it because they want to be able to
Well,
keep the
yes, of course,
superheroes. I
yes.
mean, Ted Sarandos is already talking about how awesome DC is.
Oh, yeah,
And
of course, yes. Oh.
so is like David Zaslav. Like, I heard at New York Comic Con that DC is absolutely the apple of David Zaslav's
Yeah.
eye. David Zaslav being the guy, the CEO of Warner Brothers, and DC just, can't do any wrong. They are the golden child right now, and
Of course. And he's
for
got his
them.
film on that's yeah.
Yeah,
So for sure.
finally, they deserve it.
Yes, the Superman did incredibly well. And then of course we're talking about Supergirl to come, so
Yeah. And the other thing that I'm hearing is that a lot of people have a lot of questions about how Marvel is doing, because they cut off their Ultimate line, and or they ended it. It was always supposed to end after 2 years, and I'm sure they'll just relaunch it again next year, call it New Ultimates or something, because that's just what Marvel does. But nothing they are doing is landing. In fact, at New York Comic Con when they were having the lunar sales lunch, and David Gabriel, who's the head of marketing and sales for Marvel, got up there talking to retailers. He's like, I'm sure you had a great year this year, and we really killed it, right? We really killed it with Deadpool Batman.
Oh no.
Okay. Okay.
So yeah, anyway, so and the other biggest story of the year, though, even though comics are having an incredible year, incredible sales, there is trouble on the horizon, and that starts with T, and that rhymes with T, and that stands for tariffs.
Oh
Yeah.
yeah. That hasn't gone away.
Yeah, so listeners, you may not know this, but significant amount of your trade paperbacks, the shinier the paper, the nicer the copy, not printed in the United States. And so, tariffs on both paper and supplies, and everything basically, could seriously affect prices going forward. Not to mention just shipping timelines.
Well, I mean, it's already affected. It hasn't really affected comic shops or comics publishers, but it's wreaked havoc in the toy industry and a lot of collectibles, anything that's made in China. And because books are exempt from tariffs under some arcane freedom of speech rule, thank God. But toy companies had a horrible year. And people don't just even talk about it, I mean, it's a story that's been very underreported.
And also, books aren't subject to tariffs, but paper is, ink is, parts are. So all kinds of things that may go into printing your comic here, tariffs. Also, I have heard stories about things getting held up in customs, things that end up not getting tariffed. So, because they just want to make sure no one's sneaking anything through. And it's affecting artists because you may know this. If you've ever been to a con, you know this. Artists have a great secondary income stream in a lot of merchandise with prints of their art. And a lot of that merchandise with prints of art is not printed in the United States. And so I know that a couple of my favorite artists, things on their store that they're selling for Christmas, they're just like, we can't ship this to the United States. We don't have the bandwidth to deal with the tariffs on this. This is being printed in China. This is being printed in the EU. We just can't send it to the US. So hopefully this situation will settle out without too much further destruction, but it's definitely something to keep in mind.
Yeah, and there's just a lot of questions about just our economic situation, and I mean, are we headed for a recession? Are we headed for a depression? I mean, all the signs are just everywhere. It's like the movie where the clock hand is just spinning in all different directions and nobody knows where it's going to go. It just changes with the time of the day. But yes, it's been a year of total disruption in every aspect of our lives. And guess what? That's awful. So, anyway.
Yeah.
And
You know who else has been
so,
affected by that? Funko.
yes. Oh, well, Funko, I mean, forget about it. They are in deep doo-doo right now. Like, they haven't filed for bankruptcy or anything like that, but,
It appears to be coming.
no one would be shocked. And boy, they were once the biggest player in the game, and they sure,
Not
they've
that
run
long
it.
ago.
Yeah,
Like,
they've.
2 or 3 years ago, it was like, oh God, how am I going to get to this publisher's booth? There's a whole line of people look trying to get into Funko.
Yes. Well, unfortunately, among all these types of disruption, it was also a big year for censorship again.
This continues to be one of the biggest stories of this year, the year before, and no doubt we'll be talking about it on our preview show. The issues around very often right-wing groups going after public libraries, school libraries, Even the attack on DEI to suppress an understanding of history. This is pervasive throughout the country. Publishers are organizing to fight back. I want to point. I mean, there's so much going on in so many different places. It's hard to really hard for us to kind of just give you a summing up. But I would point you to Publishers Weekly. And our library page, which also looks to the broad fight across the country and how coalitions are building to support librarians who are under enormous pressure from right-wing groups trying to suppress very often any kind of book on race, on sexuality, or gender. Really, and coming up with unfortunately creative arguments. To bypass First Amendment rights and our freedom to read. I'm going to point our listeners to a couple of more to come podcasts in the past, number 702 and actually more to come 681, which are both interviews with Jeff Trexler, the executive director of the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund. I do one, Heidi does one, and Jeff goes over all of the threats. Or at least many of them that are going on now around your freedom to read, how it affects graphic novels, manga, and books in general, and what people are doing about it to try to stop it. And I think even today, very quickly, in Publishers Weekly, there was some stories about a suit by a right-wing public legal group. I think it was founded by Stephen Miller. This filed suit against Penguin Random House, who recently actually won, I think, a case in appellate court in Florida over books being removed from the public school library. So, look, there's so many going on, but yes, be aware, be involved where you can be. Your right to read the books that you want to read. Books that you want your children and young people to be read, they're being threatened every day.
There was a couple of wins.
Yes.
There was a couple of appeals court. The problem is that the Supreme Court, like they are, they'll make any decision and something that backs up, oh yes, it's okay if we have
Yes.
a king, but then they just don't even listen to ones about the First Amendment. They're totally ignoring those. So, it's super, super, super annoying and outrageous and
Yeah.
just, whatever happened to the government staying out of our business?
Yeah, well,
Very selective.
yeah.
Yeah.
The selective outrage, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that's why we need Comic Book Legal Defense Fund, the ACLU, and a
Yes.
whole bunch of other organizations to back our
Yes.
freedom of speech.
So the other big story of the year, of course, was AI. And Kate, you've been following this quite closely.
Yes. From a number of different angles has AI been a huge story this year. So our friend or enemy, AI, and this has gone everywhere from controversies over whether or not anyone might actually be using AI to create comic art to whether anyone might be using AI to create subtitles. To all kinds of uses of AI no one even thought
Yeah.
of. So, AWA's Mike Deodato is currently being accused of using AI to help create his art in AWA's Ultimate Oz comic, which he denies. We'll see. But there will be undoubtedly more accusations of this to come. I mean, to be fair, I know a lot of artists and a lot of writers who, in the even just the amateur sphere, who are not using AI, who get accused of it. So, you've got both the specter of people sneaking AI in to maybe, steal art, cut corners, and then of people just getting accused of it because what they're creating looks like the kind of thing that got fed in to create the AI in the first place. It's very messy. As far as the subtitles go, Crunchyroll the anime giant has been accused and admitted to using AI to create decidedly subpar subtitles. There's question as to, what publishers may start using AI to translate books. For example, Webtoon is ending its fan translation service. Are they going to replace it with AI at some point in the future? We don't know. And I'm sorry,
Sorry,
listeners.
look.
This is our guest star, my
Guest star.
cat, Leo.
I think
Thank
he's
you,
here in your
Leo, for
apartment with Top
sharing.
Cat,
I
but
think it. I think
yeah.
it's wonderful. I think it's wonderful.
But this is a serious
This will be
topic
among
here
our.
now,
This will be
and your
among
cats are
our
not
top.
taking this seriously enough.
Well, cats don't need to worry about AI.
They've got it made.
So Crunchyroll is using AI subtitles. We know that Disney has said that they are going to license their content to feed AIs.
Yes, that was the big shocker.
That's
Well, they did. They
alarming.
said that they were licensing 200 characters to Sora, okay? So that people will be able to use these 200 characters to make their own little freaky fantasies, of I saw
I
one of my
guess like that are they're flooding TikTok right now as we speak.
I mean, I hate to say that it's kind of a competency test, but I do notice that older people are posting these dumb little videos. There was one of like Willie Nelson and Keith Richards building the pyramids, and I'm like, dude, what are you? I mean, I got caught a few times myself, but anyway, I and everyone say that Disney did it because, it's like piracy. It's going to happen anyway, and they want to try to control the narrative, but we'll see. That was a shocker to me, boy.
And but not only that, they're going to be allowing AI generated content to appear on Disney Plus.
What
Leo does this thing where he has his squeaky mouse and then he sings his squeaky mouse song.
Is that what they
Cats
you get a
are an
ringing
internet hit, so.
endorsement from the cat community?
And meanwhile, let me just tell you, my DMs are going insane on my computer because I'm on this podcast. I just had to step away from editing, and boy, a lot is happening right now. But you know what? Sit and spin. Take a breather, kids. It can wait for another 30 minutes until I finish our podcast. Jeez Louise.
But
Oh,
I mean, I
boy.
think
The world keeps rolling on whenever we make our podcast anyway.
And I think it's important to note that, obviously professional organizations are really taking a stand, and including I think Jim Lee at New York Comic Con this year. Was it New York Comic Con?
Yes, it was New York Comic Con.
About the role of which there is none in like comic book art, illustration, covers, and the like.
I mean, Netflix has been using AI for subtitles. Who
Well,
knows?
YouTube uses it for subtitles.
Yes,
You
but
know? I mean,
I mean,
that's a pretty basic and not that bad use of AI. It's like not artistic subtitles, but just, captions, basically.
right. I mean, I think, let's put it this way. I think for situations like YouTube, where this is not long-term content, this is ephemera, as it were. Sure. Right. But the problem is, and the worry is, that questionable AI subtitles will replace real translation on
Correct,
services like
right.
Crunchyroll, Netflix, etc.
I do think that's a very legit, and I think it's a legitimate differentiation. I mean, all transcription services are AI based. They have been for years before the current AI boom. And so, just using AI to create a transcript is very different than having to create a translation. I think what's interesting about the AI, invasion is that most big comics publishers have really come out explicitly against AI, right? And Jim Lee made the strongest statement But when an artist is found using AI, they have been let go or, reprimanded and not used anymore. So there's been a lot of pushback against it. The Diodato situation, we don't know. Like, there was this other artist on Facebook just today who took a line drawing and then he did the AI version, and it looks like this, airbrush slop. And he's like, "Hey, look how much fun this was." You should see the comments on this. I mean, he's
I
being
can only
ratioed
imagine.
on his face. But I mean, they're gentle. They're kind. No one's just like, but everybody's saying, "Hey, buddy, do you really think this is better? You need to be careful once you open the gate and let this happen." And they're also saying your original sketch had life and this has no life. So, is this going to be one of the biggest stories of 26? Yes. That said, we find that people are what is it? Microsoft just said they're actually pulling back on AI because nobody is using whatever theirs is called, Gemini, not Gemini. I forget. Whatever it is, people aren't using it. And I've used it, just to test it, and it sucks. So yeah, I'm not going to use
Well,
your.
I
I mean, I
think,
like Clippy. Give me Clippy.
yeah, I think,
Bring back Clippy.
I think it. We may find, by the end of 2026 that we have reached a peak current generation of AI, because a lot of, it's the newest trend that you should try to put the current generation of large language model style AI into all kinds of things where maybe users don't need it. Maybe it's not cost effective. Maybe it's not time effective. And the fact of the matter is that it really seriously looks like OpenAI, which is the heart of the current large language model boom, is in financial trouble. So basically, it costs more to run than they are taking in income. And there doesn't seem to be a plan to get out of that at the moment with the current technology. So we'll see more on that.
When is the last time somebody said, "Hey, I've got some NFTs I'd like to sell you?"
True. I mean, but listeners, I'm not a Luddite. I'm saying this current generation and type of AI, right? Like, as AI iterates and there are new forms, as we find new ways to use it, some ways will be useful and some will not. And people who are like, everything is AI now, I don't think it's going to be like that. I think we're going to find where it's useful and where maybe it's not very helpful at all. A new and novel use of AI, which the effects of which we will see in the comics and anime industry going forward, is that the Japanese government is started to use artificial intelligence to track down manga and anime piracy. So they're hoping that it will successfully make copyright calls, and let them know what is actual piracy and what is just someone's fan art. We'll see, but this is coming from an article on the South China Morning Post. And Japan in the past year has been cracking down very heavily on piracy, more than usual, because they claim that they've lost $55 billion a year to it. So I think we're going to see more use of AI do things like that. More on that, but I will take an artist's created or even a fan artist's created art over AI art any day. And let's hope that there are fewer things like the pirated Ghibli AI creating soulless iterations of faux Studio Ghibli art.
Well, I mean, the real issue, the real biggest story of 2025 was just people's increasing inability to distinguish between reality and propaganda. And AI slop is definitely part of that. I mean, the identification is coming faster and faster and faster. And that's it. People really just don't even care about what might be reality anymore.
Or even if they care, they may not even realize that AI, what AI can do. Like, I actually, listeners, my father is a very intelligent man. He's not stupid at all. He's also 76. And so he was like, I wonder why there are suddenly so many videos on TikTok of cats chasing bears. I didn't know cats chased bears. And I had to sit him down. I was like, look how they all seem to be in the same yard, despite being different cats and different bears. This is AI. So,
Yeah, you know.
listeners, sit your children and your parents down and talk them through how to spot AI.
Yeah, and anyway, I could go on and on. I do have
Yeah.
some AI videos that Facebook keeps throwing at me, and it just amuses me when they decide this is the one du jour that they're going to send me. And most of them involve animals, and then I'm like, well, that didn't really happen. But it's not like Leo. Don't license Leo to AI, Kate. So.
No, but unfortunately, you can't copyright a cat.
Yes. Well, thank God.
That's
Thank
true.
God. So, all right. So that's definitely some of the biggest topics. So some more things that happened, the year in conventions. Well, the big news in conventions is actually for 26, but there will be no Angoulême Comics Festival.
Yeah.
And
Yeah, that's a huge story of the year.
this is an amazing turnaround here. Once again, the Beat has been covering this really extensively, so we kind of have to throw it to you, Heidi, but
Yeah. Well, I would point to Dean Simons, one of our correspondents who's based in England, who has really been doing an incredible job on this story, and he's gotten a lot of really solid firsthand reporting. But we've been talking about this for like a decade about
Really,
how,
absolutely. Since
yes,
I
about,
was at Angoulême,
yes. And my first time there was 2014. I think you went
I went
2015,
2016.
2016, right? And
Yeah.
then 2017, I believe, was this year where Frank Bondeau was like, "Yo, women can't, aren't there was no female
I think that, well, I think the year
nominees."
I went there, he was making incredibly misogynist statements.
Like women, women aren't funny, that kind of shit.
There are
Whew.
no important
Yeah, there are
women
no,
cartoonists
there
in
are
the
no.
history of cartooning. I mean, insane
And.
things to come out of the mouth of someone representing one of the great comics festivals of the world.
And that's just the tip of the iceberg. There's been talk about financial miscreancy, mischief, financial mischief, and just how Bondo's company, which his company runs the show. There is also the actual festival, which isn't they don't run it, right? They hire Bondo's company to run it. And then there's the city, which is also involved in it. So there's always been this three-part kind of, or I will say always, because apparently there's been some changes in that. But also now the city. Anyway, two of the three of these legs of this particular stool seem to have been pretty rotten, and the stool is not sitting up. So the crux was like a story that came out in January about a worker who was sexually assaulted at the 25 the 25 show, and then when she reported it, she got fired. So that didn't sit too well. And that's
And
pretty,
then
yes.
Frank Bondeau's and his company's contract to run the festival was renewed for 9 years.
Well, the thing there is that there was so much outcry after the story came out. They're like, hey, let's get some new people. Let's get some new offers. And then they just like, oh, yeah, we're going to let Fondo do it again. And then there was so much outcry. And then there was also a girl caught because women are so upset. And then basically over the summer, publishers started pulling out, creators had already pulled out. And then there were so many people pulled out that just probably back in the beginning of November, they were like, you know what? No show in 26. And while we figure what the hell we're doing, and Bondo is pretty much out, and but we will we'll see. This is not, it's a little French. They do love drama, I have to say. But
And can I just jump
well,
in for
but
a
this
second,
would,
Heidi?
French are not
Because they've
unique.
also, excuse me, Kate, but we've also seen that there's a broad-based boycotting of the show to show their disapproval of Bondu and his handling and managing of the festival around a broad range of areas. In addition, the festival is publicly funded to a great extent by the French public funds, and that they have pulled back. Bondu seems to be saying that, that's the only reason why it was canceled. But as we know, the withdrawal of public funds, and this is from the Beat's reporting, had as much to do with the boycott that's going on, the girl cut that you mentioned, as well as stars like Art Spiegelman and others who have signed a petition to not attend this show until management has been changed.
Yeah,
So there is a lot more to come.
Oh, yeah. as per like DeBeat's reporting, like by November, over 40 publishers have pulled out. So it's points to the comic industry for some solidarity. And I will say, Heidi, that he is unfortunately not the first problematic con runner. The United States has had its share of
Yeah,
drama.
100%, 100%. I will say though, just resentment against Bondo and his, overbearing comments had just been building for years among publishers and especially creators. Like, this is really tied in with creators' rights, which are, to be fair, a lot stronger in France than they are here. But it had been building up for a long time, and this just put it over the edge where they're like, you know what, we're not going to take it anymore. So good for them. Good for the girl cut. Good for all the outrage. It seems like finally some changes are going to be made, and the show had to be canceled. It's not for the creators and publishers, it's not great, but you know what? It's like San Diego Con. Publishers spent so much money to go. I don't think they actually made any money there. For creators, it was kind of a grueling thing where they had to sit and sign and do sketches for 4 hours at a clip. So I don't think it's really going to hurt creators or publishers. I mean,
But it may
are
hurt the
there.
city of Angoulême.
Well, that's what I was about to say. It is devastating for Angoulême. This is their big thing. This is where they make all their money. And it'd be like, I mean, look, if Comic-Con did leave San Diego, nobody's ever like, is San Diego going to survive? Of course, it's like America's eighth biggest city. It's going to be fine. Yeah, they're going to miss that money, but San Diego would puddle on, but they like the money, they like getting the money, but it
They
has
do.
other things going for it. Angoulême does not have other things going for it,
No,
not to that degree.
so much of the resources in that town built around this show.
Yeah.
And so
Yeah.
there's really more to come.
There really is. Now, so we have a lot more to talk about that happened in 26, but let's try to do a little lightning quick round here with some other stories, some other headlines. Calvin, CXC, well, you're the award winner there, so they announced just some news yesterday.
Yes, I well, yes, they well, most interestingly enough, CXC Cartoon Crossroads Columbus is changing its dates. They're moving to the spring, and that'll be in the spring of 2027, and it's actually going to be, they do have a date up. I believe it's in April. Yes, April 15th through April 18th. I'm reading the press release. 2027. They also are announcing a new executive festival manager for the show, Alicia Nash, who I believe is, she teaches illustration at what is the Columbus College of Art, I believe it is. The Columbus College of Art and Design. So look, this is a wonderful comics art festival. That once again also takes place in a library, much as TCAF used to. It's a real jewel on the indie comics festival circuit.
I mean, I've never been able to go because it's right like around the time of SPX, and I
It's
love going
used,
to
yes,
S.
September. It's usually in
I like going
September.
to SPX because I could drive or take the train or take the bus. Columbus, I probably have to fly, so it's a little bit more of a trip. And then it's New York Comic Con. It's right at the same time, so it's just never been feasible for me personally to go. But now that it's in the spring, I'm going to make sure I have time in my calendar, and I'm going to go to a CXC finally. So, it's a big break, 18-month break, but it sounds like they're kind of retrenching. And so, hopefully CXC will kind of get a little bit more prominent on the circuit because it is, by all accounts, a great
It's a
show.
great show.
Let's see, what else do we have? Okay, well, there was a lot of comings and goings in 2025, and we saw a few. Okay, so just today, so just this week, I guess everybody is. I think you were right about, Kate. Like, people are burying some of this news at the end of the year, hoping everyone's on holiday already. But okay, first off, Ablaze has acquired NBM. Thierry Nantier, 50-year comics veteran. He started when he was 19. As I love the fact that the company is called NBM and it stands for Nantier, Beal, and Mnuchin. Nobody knows who Beal or Mnuchin are anymore.
We'll have to get
Lost
Terry to decode that for us
in
at some
the
point.
sands of time, but Thierry Nantier has continued, and he is semi-retiring, but he will continue as a consultant. We have to, if we're coming back with more to come, Calvin, you and I want to do it like an exit interview with
Yeah,
Terry.
because Terry is a kind of a living record of this incredible graphic novel revolution that we've all kind of helped, helped along, supported, and got to be a witness to up close. And I would say that Terry was one of the first publishers, independent publishers, that kind of educated me on European graphic novels. And we're talking here about the late 1980s. As I joined PW and started annoying people about paying more attention to this category. As I tell everyone, Terry Nantier, if I'm not mistaken, was the first or the second publisher to take me out to lunch to talk about graphic novels.
Wow. Well, he is a true
So this
trailblazer,
is
pioneer.
yeah, and there aren't a lot of publishers that have the eye that NBM has, that have the artistic sensibility that NBM has.
Yeah, 100%.
And this is very interesting, of course, because obviously a couple of years ago Terry sold off Paper Cuts, the kids comics imprint that was a sister company to NBM. So he does look like he's transitioning to looking ahead to his own retirement. He's been in this business for a long time, but my understanding, he's still going to be acquiring and producing new books with NBM as an imprint at Ablaze. So.
I'm a little surprised. I mean, this was an asset purchase, which means that they purchased the inventory, the licenses, the publishing play, the contracts, etc. They didn't acquire the company, which is a little interesting. I'm also a little bit interested that it was a Blaze. They were literally one of the first companies when Diamond did announce their bankruptcy to be like, oh, we're laying people off, we're cutting back. And so I would not say that I would put a Blaze in the like, oh, we're doing absolutely fantastic and have coffers of money sitting here
Yeah,
category.
I have to say, when I saw the headline, I was like, who? They're buying NBM? I would not have called that one.
Well, people said that Oni bought Lionforge when it was the other way around. So who knows what really
Who
happened,
knows?
right? My God, this just had broke. And then breaking today, very interesting news that Oni will be publishing periodicals starring the Archie characters. And it's kind of a licensing deal like they did with EC, but also like IDW publishes Marvel characters like for the kids line. Like Marvel essentially licenses out its kids comics. And obviously, Abrams is doing all these really cool original graphic novels with Marvel characters. And a lot of people wonder if Netflix does buy Warner Brothers in 5 years, will they be publishing comics? Maybe they'll just license them out. So I see this as part of the kind of trend. I mean, Valiant also licensed their titles out to Alien. So it's been happening more and more with different degrees of success. I like what Oni's been doing. They have W. Maxwell Prince writing an Archie title and Corinna Brechko writing a Sabrina comic, and then there will be a horror story, of course, written by oh God, what's the name of the guy? Patrick Horvath, who did Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees. And some people in my mentions or my DMs have been like, is it have to be more horror? Well, Afterlife with Archie was kind of a huge thing. Like it's kind of mirroring what they did 13 years ago.
Absolutely. They just like they're having it, they're licensing it out to an outside publisher. But I mean, this was a kind of publishing that actually revived Archie. As you were saying, 10, 13 years ago, when they started doing these original Archie stories, like Archie Gets Married, and where
Chilling
you
Adventures of
see
Sabrina.
Archie, moving to New York to be a folk singer. I mean, coming up with all kinds of like creative combinations to revamp the character and the brand for a new generation. So I'm
Yeah,
anxious
it's
to
what
see
made
these
Riverdale
as
happen.
well.
Yeah,
It
Riverdale.
made the absolutely, yeah. So
So, yeah, and yeah, interesting time. I mean, it's just a very interesting move to me. It's a very and it's an interesting move for Oni, you know, to take on these iconic characters. Very, very interesting. Who else? Well, boy. Okay, we saw digital comics. We talked about this in one of our episodes before our hiatus. You know, Neon Ichiban has come on as a new digital publisher, and then Global and Sweet and, you know, Webtoon. I mean, we call it Disney Toon. Like, Webtoon is teaming with Disney to ho start a whole new platform. Like, Inky Pen made a very small company's making its own little moves. Like, Crunchyroll got back into the digital manga game. It was a huge year for digital reading,
There you go.
digital,
There you
yeah,
go.
comics digitally. And then some new distribution people did jump up. I mean, Universal is in the game now. They bought Free Comic Book Day.
Oh yes,
Boy, that's
that's
too much. Yeah,
actually
well,
quite important. Yeah.
then there's going to be two rival Free Comic Book Days at the same time.
I don't think it's even rivals. I think it's like PRH didn't want to go in on Free
So they
Comic Book
came up
Day.
with their own
They
name.
came up with their own name, Comics
But it's the same
Giveaway Day, but it's
Comics
the
Giveaway
same
Day, which
day.
is the same day.
And you know what? You just watch next year. It's all going to be Free Comic Book Day because it doesn't make any sense. I don't think it makes any sense. Nobody's going to call it Comics Giveaway Day.
No, they're gonna call it no.
Yeah. I think they're playing copyright chicken with each other. Yeah. Well, one of the, you know, as there was a lot of startups, I mean, Ignition Press, did anybody actually read, has anyone read any Ignition Press books?
No. There's
Yeah.
been seemingly precious little promotion. Am I wrong?
No, there's been a good bit of promotion, but you know,
And I'm the one that's behind,
well,
which
I
wouldn't
mean,
be unusual,
you
so
know,
I'll
we
catch
could do
up.
a whole podcast just about what is promotion in comics,
Yeah.
and I'll leave it at that. So we saw some shutdowns as well, and probably the most prominent was Humanoids, or was it?
Oh, God. So
Well,
humanoids may or may not be
from
undead.
what I read, yes, it was like a shell game, the financial shell game that, and they're right back. Or they, once again, are they back or did they never leave?
My reading is that they never left. Apparently, I did write a story, and I've talked to a few people who worked for Humanoids, so piecing it together in over the, well, there's also some really great reporting at Actualité, which is the Publishers Weekly of France. Okay, it is a you know, website of publishing news, and there was some really great reporting there about the French version of Humanoids, the original legendary, founded by Mobius. Humanoids that, and the owner of both Humanoids US and France is this guy named Fabrice Jijé
Gigi.
Geiger. I don't know how you
I
say
think
his
it's
name. So
Gigi.
Jijé, let's say Jijé. And he went to the office and over the summer is like, hey guys, no money for payroll. That's it. Okay. They call it something else in France, receivership. They don't, they're, I don't, I'm not familiar with the French bankruptcy laws, but basically they kind of filed a pretty hefty, we're not coming back bankruptcy. And then in October, Humanoids US filed Chapter 7, you know, like, oh, that's it. We're done. That means we're going to liquidate. And then they said they had zero assets, $0 assets, and then I think $17 million in debt. That sounds pretty bad, right?
Very,
Well,
very bad.
apparently, I keep getting these PRs from Humanoids. And then it's like, oh, yeah, we're kickstarting the third issue of Metal Lolo. And then I started talking to some people I know who had books come out. And they sent me this email. That was the greatest thing I've ever read because it is like, hey, we're fine. We just rebranded as Humanoid Studios. And you know, I guess we should have told you. We're sorry you found out about the Chapter 7 that way. You know, we didn't think anyone would think it was newsworthy. And I guess we should have told you
Are
about
you
it, but
kidding?
everything's fine. Fine, just fine. And yeah, all your contracts are fine. We're just moving on. Everything's, yeah, fine. We're fine.
Yeah,
Because they've
this is
essentially
the
moved
best.
all of the assets from the US company to Humanoid Studio. So
Well,
and left it with the liabilities.
that's not quite ex so. Apparently, Ijige is Swiss, and he has created a company based in Luxembourg,
Oh
which is
dear.
like Switzerland, and it's all the EU, but
Yeah.
S Luxembourg has got a lot of privacy laws, I guess. And so there is a French, and it's like Humanoids SARL or something. And this is an overall holding company. And what these people do, we've seen this with the Diamond bankruptcy. And now I'm reading, I see it many, many times. This some rich dude creates like all these shell companies that they have salted away because you have to have it pre-existing. You create an LLC, and then when your one company's bad, you just move it over to another one. And say like, and if you, the debt from Humanoids, this is the best part. The debt is a loan from Jige himself
Oh,
to
no.
his own company, $7 million that he can't pay back, or maybe $4 million. And then there is a loan from the bank that's like $100,000. And then there's this $10 million debt that is a disputed contract with a media partner. And so to me, it's like, oh, you just didn't want to pay this guy $10 million, so you filed Chapter
Yeah,
7.
yeah.
So what this says to me is maybe don't do business with humanoids because if they decide they don't want to pay you, they may do something funky.
So I will say this in their defense. I have not heard that they have not paid creators. Creators have all been paid. The
Good
contracts have been,
priorities.
yes. And they, because they have apparently some money that they had put aside for paying
No
creators.
doubt, no doubt.
Their rates
And
may
let's
be
remember
low.
now, this is one of the most famous publishers in French comics.
Well, they invented Metal
They,
Hurlant,
yeah.
otherwise known as Heavy Metal Magazine.
Yeah. So it's like, yeah.
Okay. Well, you know what? Let's move on. I want to do one more business story. It's just that Kickstarter had a huge year in comics. Dungeon Crawler Carl. We did the panel at New York Comic Con. They did a was it Vault did it, and
Oh, yes.
the Kickstarter made $2.3
Yes. And you
million dollars.
moderated the panel,
Yes,
John. Yeah.
I did. But they made $2.3 million from this very, very popular lit RPG.
Lit RPGs conquering the world, I'm
It
telling
is.
you.
It is. And then
The numbers are crazy.
there
Yeah.
was tons of other like Kickstarter comics that were like six figures. I like it just went nuts this year. And then there was also a strike, but that was settled. So yeah, a big year. So I am going to throw it over to Calvin though to talk about why we all do this. Best comics of the year.
Yeah, okay, because I think we're running down on time here. So hold on just a second.
You better
Well, look,
hold on.
certainly there are numerous lists out now this time of year, the best graphic novels, and I'm sure the Beat has its own listings coming out pretty
Well, they
soon. If they're
came out,
not,
we had like 50 books on our list, so
there you go.
we went
But
nuts.
at Publishers Weekly, we do our best books list of the year, and we also do our graphic novels review editor, Meg Lemke, puts together the PW Graphic Novel Critics Poll. So if you go to publishersweekly.com/comics, you can get a look at our best books of 2025 very quickly. I'll go over them. Tongues by Anders Nilsson. Black Arms to Hold You Up, The History of Black Resistance by Ben Passmore. A wonderful book, Do Admit, The Mitford Sisters and Me by Mimi Pond, which I
It's a
think was
really
also
great
an
one.
Eisner winner, wasn't it?
I
Joe
don't think it's
Sacco's
up
The
for
Western
Eisners yet.
Future Riot, and Spent by Alison Bechtel, a hilarious pseudo memoir. But don't forget the PW Graphic Novel Critics Poll. Where I think we had a
It was a
tie
tie
this year.
again. It's for like the
Yeah.
12th year in a row, a tie, and it was Do Admit and Spent. So Mimi
Yes,
Pond
there
and
you
Alison
go.
Bechdel. Alison Bechdel's won the poll several times before. She won for
Yes.
Fun Home, I believe, in the very first poll
I
we
think so,
did.
yeah. I think you're right.
That's how far back it
So,
goes.
and frankly, just recently, just on another tip, the New York Times has put out its best graphic novels of the year award too. So I'll send you to the New York Times for
Yes, well,
that.
I will send you to the Beat. We do have our best of list. It includes quite a few absolute titles. I mean, things like the Absolute Batman Annual by Daniel Warren Johnston, which is a masterpiece. My one pick on there is Insectopolis. I want to give a shout out. I thought there would be more buzz for this book.
It's beautiful.
It is.
Well, I
I
will
saw
say,
the exhibit for it at Society of Illustrators. It was amazing.
Yeah, right?
yeah, it
Yeah.
is. It's a beautiful book.
Yeah, it
And
is.
I will say, I put it on my list for the graphic novel critics poll.
Yes, you did, Calvin. Yes. But I mean, honestly, there were so many good books that came out. And so check out the beat list. We also have lists of the beat for best kids comics, for best webtoons, best anime, best movies. We really went
And you
ham
have a
on
K
best of.
Comics beat
Yes, yes.
list as
Oh,
well
and
this
if I
year.
can also add, go to the graphic novels for adults list, but also go to our take a look in the middle grade and young adult list of PW's best books, because they're folded in with the prose books. So there are at least four or five other titles under the middle grade and young adult listings on PW's best books of the year.
Yes. So, I mean, we've spent most of our allotted hour talking about all the business news of the year, but it was an absolutely fantastic year creatively. And, we should not forget that. So now, Calvin, are you and Meg going to do stargazing anymore or?
My understanding is that we are. I need to talk with her and find out what's up. I do think we're going to continue to do stargazing, but there'll be more to come on that.
Yes. Well, there's more to come on more to come because
Yes.
obviously we took a big break and we just needed some time off and we earned it. But
After
we need to try
14
some new
years.
stuff.
We should
Yeah.
mention one of the big events of 2025. More to come, 700th
700.
episode show recorded live at New York Comic Con.
Yes, and
Tune
that
in.
was
It's a great show.
it
If you
was and it
haven't
was a
seen it yet, if you haven't listened to it yet.
And I have the video of it, but the file's too big to transfer, so I haven't been able to do anything with it, or the person who has it. But yeah, it was a great event. I'm really happy to share the stage with both of you and Meg Lemke and some great cartoonists. But yeah, it's good to catch up with you guys again.
And it's going to be, yes, it's good, because we need some downtime, but look for us to continue to do some new things in different ways in
Yeah.
2026.
And let us know if you like the video component. Obviously, we a learning experience.
How's my hair?
Yeah, well, mine is like, Jesus, what a shambles. But well, you know what though,
Look like a
guys?
webtoon character.
I do.
Pink is very webtoon.
Yeah. Well, I guess you guys, until next time, there will be
Oh, yes, more.
two.
Come. This is one for the outtakes file, people.
Yeah, this is a blooper take here,
Yeah,
but
this is a blooper
just
for
forge
sure.
ahead, Kate. Forge
Yeah,
ahead.
just
Your
go ahead. Don't worry about it.
Onward!
You're
Like
like
backup
yeah, let
singers.
Leo, can sit and spin, man. Blooper
Just
for
forge
sure.
ahead, Kate. Forge
Yeah,
ahead.
just
Your
go
cast.
ahead. Don't worry about it.
Onward!
Onward.
Like
Yeah,
backup
let
singers.
Leo, can sit and spin, man.